have no idea what loss is. You have no idea what loss is.
I reckon it's got something to do with that girl.
It's got everything to do with that little girl.
I can take care of myself.
How many close calls have we had?
Can't be any worse out there. Can it? Every guy in this room is staring at you right now. Maybe they're staring at you. Maybe they're jealous of you. I'm just a girl. Not a threat. Belly. I think they should be terrified of you.
Welcome to the world of The Last of Us. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for the Naughty Dog video game series and the HBO on Max and Sky Atlantic television series. Right, we've reached the second part of our anniversary celebrations. This is talking about The Last of Us Part 2 turning 5 already. Well, I say already, 5 years is 5 years. Yeah, lots of reflections to be had indeed. I've got a few notes to guide me, although I do know what I want to talk about. Bit of a different beast, this one. 2 years of The Last of Us, sorry, 5 years of The Last of Us 2, and 12 years of The Last of Us 1. If you did miss that podcast, that will be out by now. I'm recording both of these on the same day. But, yep, June 14th, 2013... PlayStation 3 for The Last of Us, and June 19th, 2020 for The Last of Us Part 2. A lot of people do say that, like, since 2020, the last 5 years of, you know, life have kind of just blended together, in the particularly in the last couple of years, which is a fair point. I would say it does feel like it's been 5 years since The Last of Us. I wouldn't quite, like, even though I remember launch day like it was yesterday, because I still do, that still feels like something that was very, very recent. It does feel, because there's probably, at least for me anyway, because there's been so much stuff that's happened. You know, I've played the game 7.5 times, watched season 2 technically 3 times, I suppose, because I've watched each episode 3 times. I've played this game, you know, the 7.5 times, played No Return. I've watched dozens and dozens of videos, listened to dozens and dozens of podcasts. I've listened to all the creative people, all the creators rather, talk about the game, watch the documentary, had the reflections there. Obviously, had the second season be adapted so far, so, like, we've had a portion of the game be adapted. And it's been an incredible 5 years, it really, really has, for a game that, now, as much as I do very much love The Last of Us 1, and that certainly left its own individual and separate mark, I think, and left its mark in a different way, and you do have a sequel here as opposed to an original entry. This game certainly left its mark on me more than what the first one did, and that's not to put the first game down, but I think the second game just did something different, did something special in a different way. And, you know, even with all the years that had passed since I played the first one, and obviously, things in my own life had changed, and all that sort of thing. There's obviously the element of this game being released during the pandemic that had its whole thing to it as well. Particularly a post-apocalyptic game coming out during an actual real-world pandemic had its own particular effect. Yeah, it's, I don't know, I've thought about this game pretty much every single day since I started. I know that's a lot of days, but then of course there was thinking about once the show got announced in, I believe it was 2023, and then thinking about what the second game would look like as the second season, and just just everything else. There's been a lot of reflections. Even sitting in now thinking that it's been 5 years since I had that first experience. Now, as much as, you know, I've picked up something new every single new time I've played this game. And you can put what I'm about to say into your own joke, I'm sure some of you would. You'll never have the experience with something else the same as your first time. Of course, you can make your appropriate jokes about that. But you'll never, like, whether it's playing a game for the first time, watching a film for the first time, reading a book for the first time, watching a show for the first time, your first time will never be the same as any other, you know, replays, rewatches, or anything else. So I always kind of like, I have some interesting reflections on my actual first time through the game, seeing, just because there's just so much stuff in this game, just seeing all those bits and pieces be revealed for the first time, not knowing what's coming up, and just digesting this game for the first time and just being, you know, stunned by it and everything else. By the way, this podcast, I haven't really gotten into the meat of things yet. This podcast will contain spoilers for these story spoilers up to the end of season 2. So for everything that happens in the second game up to where season 2 ended, so the theater occasion, the theater sequence, I won't talk about spoilers in the game after that point, because what I did with the first Last of Us podcast, for the first game's 12-year anniversary, was do a similar thing, but obviously that's just one season for one game, and that one was like, okay, if you've seen first season, played the first game, there'll be spoilers for that. Obviously, I'll be spoiling the first game here if that does come up, which I'm sure it will. But yeah, for the sake of spoilers with this particular podcast, I'll be spoiling the events publicly that you would have seen if you've watched the second season. So I won't go past that point in regards to spoilers. But yeah, this clearly at least for me myself, because I've never played a game this many times. I mean, I played the first game 4 times, played this one 7.5. If you're wondering why it was the half, it's because I wanted to play up to where I think season 2 was going to end, which is the point that we are actually at with the story. Yeah, so that's why I'm on the half playthrough, and I will continue that at some point before season 3 comes out, so I can do the usual rigmarole with all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I've not talked about a game as much as Last of Us 2. I've not played a game as much as Last of Us 2. I can't really say I haven't spent time more in another game, because I've got things like FIFA and things like Call of Duty, which obviously you do game after game after game after game, and that soaks up obviously a lot of hours over quite a few years. But for a single player story narrative game, which you can play from start to end, yeah, I've never spent this much time with the game before, and I can't really give you a specific. I mean, so each playthrough had its own specific purpose, so it wasn't just a case of, oh, I feel like playing it again or whatever. They all had their own specific reasons. But even still, like, if I wasn't bothered about going back to the game, if I wasn't bothered about, you know, getting the platinum or exploring the story more, or, you know, playing it again to prepare for season 2, or all those other different things, or for like when the remaster came out, or whatever else, clearly I still wouldn't have played it that many times if it hadn't left the impact it has. I mean, for me, with Last of Us 1 and 2, they've become genuine reference points to me. Like, when I'm talking about other games and other stuff, and if Last of Us comes up in my mind as an example to bring up for whatever reason, it's always just sitting there to me, and it always just kind of, there's other games that will come up for other like reference points, but when I'm talking about things like quality, or talking about just like what the story did or like evolved gameplay or whatever else. It's just always there on my mind for that kind of example. This is also a game that like I've bought the music for separately and I listen to and I think about the different scenes and think about different moments and how many times I've gone through and digested this story. And I've spent a lot of time with this game over 5 years, and even there's been, you know, big portions of those 5 years where I've not played the game because I've played other stuff or done other stuff. And there are still people that played the game more than me and whatever else, but at least in my more adult life, no other game has done the things that this game has done in this way. Like, it just, I don't know, it's like my default go-to video game for certain things now. And I've come across, you know, YouTube edits and music videos and, well, not music videos, but like music edited with certain scenes and like different tribute videos and things like that. And it's just, it just blew up more and more and more and more over the 5 years. So yeah, those are some of my reflections on the game. It just feels like a game that I could just, unless it's the point of reiterating certain points, which I've probably done by accident a bunch of times, it's kind of the one game, because there's so much also that goes on in this game, and so many talking points, and so many, like, points of morality, and so many different characters that do so many different things, that impact things in so many different ways. It's kind of the one game, I think, that if you stuck a mic in front of my face and switched it on, I could just start talking about this game. Maybe not on the spot coherently, whether I could do it coherently or not, on the spot, I don't know. But yeah, it's just become that to me. And I think that's something that's very, very special, and something that clearly it's left a dent in me. Clearly it's left its impact on me. And I love that so much. Yeah. Anyways, get to some of my notes. First bit I've got here is a big, bold move. I talked about with the first, when I talked the 12-year anniversary for the first game, talked about obviously the ending of the first game and how that the debate about the ending of the game has gone on for 12 years, keeps going on, and obviously I've already talked about that on that podcast. But the seminal part here, and again, different contextually, because even though it follows on from what happens in the first game, the death of Joel, and just how all that goes down, Abby's involvement, what does Ellie know at the time, and when you're wondering about that, and who does Joel think this person is, or why they're after him, or what he did, or over the many years that he's crossed many people, like, is this someone that's just come back to bite him, bite back towards him, you know? And it turns out to that was going to be, that was the case. So the debate point with the first game was, of course, the ending, and was it the right choice, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas with the second game, it's like, okay, was killing Joel a good choice? Was it a bad choice? Was it well done? Was it good? Was it impactful? Because some people think it's one of the greatest choices in video games, and some people think it's the worst choice in video games. And others think that it's anywhere in between, could have been done differently or done better, or a lot of people think it could have been done later in the game. I don't know how you would have really done that. But it's like a different kind of debate, because it's more in line with sort of, because with the first game, it was sort of, okay, should Joel have done what he did? And with this one, it's sort of, should Joel have died? Like, you have an actual character death to debate here and to kind of mull over the sort of, okay, did he deserve it? Did he not? Is he the, you know, the classic sort of thing of, is he the hero or the villain of the story? And then, of course, you have the whole new element of the character of Abby. Who is she? Where did she come from? Why is she after Joel? And what did Abby think of the whole situation with the Fireflies and everything else? And then it's interesting going from, and this is something I talked about in our Season 2 coverage, it's very interesting to me when you have the ending of the first game, right? Although you have the, let's say you go through your journey with the first game with Last of Us, and Joel comes across as more as a heroic character because he's bonding with Ellie, he's becoming a father figure. That's something that's very, you know, big. And when I say attractive, I don't mean physically. That's something that's very inspiring and kind of attractive about a main. Like, that's a good quality. That's a better way to put it. It's a great quality for a male character to have, like, the father figure type thing going on. Like, a lot of people really like that kind of idea, and how that fits into his journey with Ellie and obviously his journey with Sarah, and comes across very much as more just like the lovable hero character that wants to save Ellie. And there was an interesting thing I noticed from the transition between Joel being a hero, then does this quote-unquote villainous thing. Some people thought it was a villainous thing. And then you start the beginning portion of part two, and you almost, as an individual, brush over it. And then because he's taken away from you, you're then devastated by that. So you then, and this isn't my view on it, I'm just talking about another one that I've seen. Your view being, you love this guy, he's a great father figure. Again, that's a big, you know, seen as a big quality within a man and all that sort of thing. And is seen as an attractive thing as well. And ends up being this heroic father figure towards Ellie, then does something that's viewed by some as villainous. And then because you then saw that hero character that you love do something you disagreed with, or that was uncomfortable to you, and then you start part two, and there's clearly this rift between Joel and Ellie, and then he gets taken away from you, this person who you loved, then pointed at as a villain, and then is taken away from you, and then you then mourn the loss of that character, because you're then remembering the good times of Joel and Ellie, and all that sort of thing, and suddenly you've gone from loving them to criticizing them, for better or for worse, to then mourning the loss of that character who's suddenly taken away from you, from this character who you have no idea about. It's from a lot of different angles, this is a very, very big, bold move from, obviously, Neil Druckmann, Halle Gross, and obviously the Naughty Dog team, to, like, whatever way it was going to happen, and obviously it happened in a very visceral, very violent way, which sort of makes it worse. To take Joel out of the story in any way, shape, or form was a massive, massive thing, no matter how it was going to happen. Even if it was going to be some sort of, like, let's say there's a bunch of infected, Joel stays behind, gets taken out by the infected so that Ellie can run. Let's say something completely different like that. Still would have been a big, bold move, but you arguably went bigger and bolder with it because you introduced this character. You then use that character to kill someone that, again, you've pointed out briefly as a villain for his choices, and then are suddenly mourning the loss of. It's a very, very interesting kind of journey, and again, it's just masterfully done. And again, to kind of compare that debate point in that moment with the end of the first game, again, whether you like the end of the first game, don't like it, disagree with it, whatever your angle on that and your opinion on it at the end of the first game, very clearly still left an impact and left a dent. And you could say the same thing with this near beginning choice. It's not like the game doesn't open with it, but this near beginning choice of what happens with Joel, because it's like, okay, did he deserve it? Is he a villain? You called him a villain, some of you did at the end of the first game, but now you're losing this character that you used to love. And then, like, okay, looking at the Abby angle of it, like, okay, she's killed somebody that we care about. Does that make her a villain? But then you learn about her story with her dad, and, like, okay, you look at that within its own context. Does that still make her a villain? Does it make her a hero in her own story? And I don't necessarily, again, think there's a right or a wrong answer. And again, interestingly, from the moral standpoint of view, if you were to say to Neil Druckmann, like, hey, Abby kills Joel, does that make her the villain? He'd say, well, what do you think? Because to him, he presented you with information on screen. He presented you with why this woman is doing what she's doing, and what's your interpretation from that? I think Neil does genuinely do it in a way of, I'm not going to tell you what the answer is, because there isn't maybe a clear answer, but I'm going to present this person to you on screen, I'm going to introduce you to this character, she's going to explain why she's doing what she's doing, and you can take from that what you want, and then witness the action of what she does. But what do you think? What do you think? Because what you think is going to be very different to what other people think. Because me and myself, I thought it was a very bold but very successful choice. And other people think it completely ruined the franchise. So you've got completely different scales of the opinion. And then you've got some stuff where it's like, okay, maybe you shouldn't have gone, but you should have gone in a different way, or whatever else. But the arguably the big key thing here with this as well is the reason some of you are pissed off and some of you, you know, grieving and mourning this character is because you cared about them. Now, if they had not done the work that they had done before, or at any points with Joel, if they had not successfully made him, you know, this great father figure and this great character and this great complex character, and he died and you'd gone, eh, whatever, then it's not successful. Because even if it is a case of you loved him so much and you're really, really pissed that Abby's killed him, that's still technically a good thing, because that still means that you cared about Joel, which was one of the very, very important parts of that. And I think they nailed the whole thing anyway. But yeah, that was... it's interesting, by the way, as well, that, like, the first game's big contentious talking point and moment is at the end, and this second game's big contentious talking point, at least for the first half, if we're focusing on the first half, is at the start, or near enough at the start. I mean, both for the end of the first game, the bits after Joel's choice, there's not that much left there. And even in the hours, the mere hour or so, or mere 2 hours before Joel's death at the start of the second game, there's not that much time before that either. So it's interesting how you kind of, not necessarily bookend them, but you kind of have one right near the end of one thing and then one right near the start of the other thing. It's very, very interestingly done. So, hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
So anyway, that's some reflections on Joel's death and that whole thing. And, you know, again, I've kind of read dozens and dozens and dozens of, you know, different opinions over the years about all of that and everything that encompasses it. And, yeah, I'll probably continue to do that
After this, 5 years, because you know the second season, sorry, the third season will come out, maybe a fourth season, and whatever else. So, two other notes that I've got, which is again questioning who's the villain. So, you know, again with this game, the difference here, Abby comes into the story, she does what she does, and you know, she comes in, she kills Joel. Does that make her the villain? Even though for the players that had, or for TV people as well, that had watched Joel do what he does at the end of the first game, can they both be villains? Maybe they are both villains. Maybe they're both heroes in their own stories. Again, if you'd asked Neil Druckmann, he would say, well, what do you think? But yeah, again, it's all down to how do you see the story. And again, I genuinely don't think that there's necessarily a right or a wrong answer. I mean, I've seen some more, you know, ridiculous takes and things like that. But, because to me, I kind of, again, not that there's a right or a wrong answer, I kind of look at Marlena as a bit of the slightly, not the villain of the story. But yeah, I've certainly questioned what she does at the end of the first game. So, but no, it's just interesting that moment you witness what Abby does. You kind of, and again, in the game, it's different to the show. You kind of wonder for a while, like, okay, well, clearly there's a reason she's done that, but what is the reason? And then you see it, and not to dumb it down and say it's simple, but he killed her father, so she went after him. Again, there's lots of moral kind of, is that the right or the wrong thing? Or should she have done that? Or should she not have? But again, as Neil had said many times, it's about looking at the different kind of perspective there, I suppose. And, you know, if you put yourself in Joel's shoes and you get his perspective, you'll see the way he sees things. If you put yourself into Abby's shoes, you'll see things differently from there. So again, it just comes down to your own general perspective of the story. So another debate which will rage on for many, many years, I'm sure. Certainly at least, I mean, okay, if a part three doesn't come out, which I still think it will, and we get to the end of the fourth season, I then don't know how much The Last of Us gets discussed post that, because that will be when there's no new content coming out for it. But I don't know, have to see how those years go on and how the debates about this game and whatever else continue. So I just wanted to touch upon something completely different, actually, and this is my last point, the evolved gameplay. So one of the things I was also looking forward to, and also really reflect on in part two, of course, you do play as Joel for a small piece, and then you do have some similarities in how Abby fights with how Joel fights, but Ellie's obviously totally different. But and again, if you take a look at Naughty Dog's sort of through line for development, you can see where certain things have branched from. But the idea of this, that you kind of have not an open world, but more open areas. There's more like options and slightly different routes you can take for certain different bits. But then things like the tall grass, and hey, Ellie's more agile. She can climb stuff. She's a bit older, but she's, you know, still more agile. And how that feeds all into the gameplay, and the sort of all of the new bits and pieces, and how all of it culminates together, and all that kind of thing. Because for me, The Last of Us Part 2 is not just, oh, you told a really phenomenal story. Like, there was obviously phenomenal graphics, evolved gameplay, you've got new characters. I've always really looked at Part 2 as, okay, you took what Last of Us 1 has done, you evolved it, which is give it new gameplay ideas, obviously update the graphics, things like that, and expand certain gameplay parts, not just in the combat, but within other things. You put new characters in there to push the story forward, but then you also take, obviously, the lie that Joel told, and you explore that in a different way. You explore that in a certain way in part two, and how that feeds into everything, and it all just culminates in this big, beautiful, but very bleak game still. What I kind of find interesting personally about this game as well is, because obviously I think about this game a lot, and like I have the music for various different bits and pieces. Like I've got the dance scene music, I've got the two Joel and Ellie songs, Take On Me and Through the Valley. I've got the two different what's it called? If I ever were to lose you, I'd surely lose myself. That song, I could always can never remember the name of it, but I can always remember those lyrics. I've got that version, which is Troy Baker's version, on my phone. I've got the music when Ellie and Joel are driving away from Bill's place. That song as well. I've got that on my phone. I've got, like I said, the dance scene song, the one between Ellie and Dina. I've got that on my phone, and like the main soundtrack and stuff. And it's a game that over the last 5 years, particularly more so in the last two, you know, when the second season's been more on the plate, so to speak, is weirdly one that I've sort of thought about in a comforting sense. Now, this story, and obviously there's happy moments, and there's, you know, bright, the sort of bright human moments, and they're very few and far between, but they are in there. But even with how much death and destruction and war and whatever else is in this game, you know, all the violence, and it's not like I'm not taking comfort in the violence. I'm not doing it in that way. But because I have so many essentially good memories from this game, both from, like, you know, cool gameplay parts I did and big story set pieces and all that sort of stuff, I've often just kind of, I don't know what the best way to describe this is. It's not sort of like a fun comfort, because I've never just once described The Last of Us as fun. I mean, the gameplay can be, but the actual experience is not. Whether you're talking about the first or the second one, neither of them are fun experiences. There's funny, you know, human moments, and there's bright moments, but it's not fun or funny necessarily. But I don't know, but I guess it's just one of those things that, because it holds such a special place with me, and I've spent so much time both with it and thinking about it, that it's just so, like, when I'm in some anxious moments, or some moments where I just need to think about something that is close to me and something that is comforting. I do it with other things. I don't just do it with Last of Us. I think about things like Toy Story and Crash Bandicoot and all those things that are very near and dear to me. But things like Crash Bandicoot and Toy Story are much more fun, much more funny, much more fun, much more kind of, you know, there's some sad stuff that happens in the Toy Story films. There's some cartoony evil moments in Crash Bandicoot. Certainly in the first one, there's some, like, almost creepy moments in the first one, especially with some of the science stuff. So I know Last of Us is very different in that way to, let's say, Crash Bandicoot and Toy Story. But I don't know, there's a certain comfort that I get from it, and I don't know if that will ever make sense, because it admittedly it doesn't make sense to me as to why I find comfort in this series or in this game. But then I also love the characters. I love spending time with these characters. I love playing as these characters and doing, you know, cool things, and the gameplay's excellent, and that's good as well. But even when I'm, you know, seeking that comfort and I'm thinking about this game, I do think of the dramatic moments. And again, I don't think about it in a comforting sense. It's more just kind of, it's like, I guess it's something where, like, I'm trying to think about something that I like to give me comfort in particular moments, and this pops up sometimes. And I don't always choose what comes into my mind. It's not like I specifically think about this, because again, sometimes Toy Story, Crash Bandicoot, and other stuff comes up. But it's funny that that's in that wheelhouse. But it's just because it's something that I like and something that I enjoy spending time with, however bleak that will be. So anyway, hopefully that makes sense, because it admittedly doesn't make much sense to me even, but hopefully it does. Anyway, 5 years of The Last of Us Part 2. Spent a lot of time waiting for the game, spent a lot of time with the game, spent a lot of time waiting for Season 2 to come out. It's a hell of a thing. It's a hell of a thing, certainly. Anyway, that is all of my notes, and that is everything that I think I want to say about this game. Thank you very much for listening to this. If you've got any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, what do you think of reflecting on 5 years of The Last of Us Part 2? Do you somehow like it more than me? Do you like it less than me? The same amount? What do you think of reflecting on certain choices? Again, Joel's death being certainly a big one. Any other parts of the game you tend to think about, or whatever else? But yeah, well, do you remember where you was, or if you were playing the game on day one? Did you play it a couple of years later, or have you just seen Season 2? Let me know your path, what your path and your journey was with Last of Us Part 2. But yeah, for Last of Us Part 2, at least, I can call myself a day one fan, but for the first one, I can't, for reasons I've already talked about. So, anyway, let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, matthew@entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK, or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, Monday Night Podcast. Check it all out. Of course, if you missed it, I did do a reflective thing on 12 years of The Last of Us. That's the first one. Yeah, from 2013. So you can check that one out if you want to. And of course, all of our coverage of the games and the show and everything else. There's a lot you can listen to in that regard. Anyway, if you want to support the podcast that we're doing, that would be really great. You can, of course, do that by simply just listening to more of them, by finding them on the site or on the podcast platforms, entertainmenttalk.org, and podcast platforms for Entertainment Talk, for TV, games, films, main eye podcasts. If you want to do a bit more than that, you don't have to, but you could. Of course, word of mouth and social media is great as well. And if someone mentions something we've podcasted on, please tell them about those podcasts. There's also Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers. Every podcast review options up for that as well. If you'd like some TV and film news, you can go to Geek Town Radio on Tuesdays or look at geektown.co.uk. That's run by David for TV and film news. And you can also find us as well on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. That's it for now. Yeah, I just can't stop making Last of Us podcasts at the moment. So, yeah, but there was something I forgot to say, which I just remembered. I'm still recording, so I'm just going to say it now. It's been interesting post-season two, thinking that, oh yeah, I'll do those podcasts, I'll wrap that up, and I'll move on to something else. I put it back on the shelf in terms of not playing the game right now, I'm not watching the show right now. I still feel like I could sit here and make like 10 more podcasts about this game. But because I both don't want to and won't stop thinking about this franchise, this series, or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I just like it's something I don't want to, like, I'm comfortable with putting it back on the shelf, and obviously I'm, you know, doing things like playing the Indiana Jones game and watching other shows, doing other things right now. I still think about it all the time though. So yeah. Anyway, that's one last reflection there for you all to sit on. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.